Just the plan going forward today and tomorrow, where I will be here in person, I'd like to finish up this the Yerushalmi and do much of the Bavli. We may spend a little more time tomorrow in the Bavli. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, the focus in Shir and Seder for you is going to be on the beginning of the Perek, the first Tosfos, and then a couple of the passages that we've shown him. It is a challenge. It's a very challenging sugya. It's challenging because there are a lot of moving pieces that you have to kind of try to pull together. It's a really good teaching sugya. One of the ways of thinking about that kind of a sugya, and you frequently encounter these, is that the Rishonim, some of you have heard this from me before, the Rishonim often deal with the sugya as a puzzle. There are a bunch of pieces that have to be fit together, and the problem is that the pieces don't fit together, and you have to make them fit together. So, the simplest example is when you have two gemaras that contradict one another. That's usually a fairly straightforward type of sugya, and which one you give primacy to, which one you interpret. But in this particular sugya, there's a question which isn't discussed explicitly at all by the gemara, and you have, four, five, six different little strands in the sugya that have to be addressed one way or the other. So that's what I would like you to do. You'll have marinabomas for them, so that's the plan for Wednesday and Thursday. You should be in Seder, and even though I will not be physically here, and Shir will be over Zoom. So I actually have to make a link for that. Both Wednesday and Thursday, yeah. And the plan is unless I obviously wouldn't do anything later on Thursday, but the plan right now is to leave Shir in its regular time slot. If it's possible, I want to move Wednesday earlier, I'll let you know, but for the moment, tentatively, we'll leave Wednesday, from 1 to 2, 15 to 20 to 25, and Thursday will be from 11 to 12, 15. Now, we are in the middle of the Yerushalmi, and we had just finished discussing that discussion of Rav Yirmiyah and the question of what happens when a woman has been chutzed, if I can use that term, and now she goes and marries somebody else who she's allowed to marry, does that second marriage dissolve everything that came before? And other than the very creative reading of the Pnei Moshe, who distinguishes between Gerushin and Misa of the second husband, so it's generally assumed that is the same one way or the other. That if the second marriage eventually ends in divorce or death of the second husband, that the woman, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion, according to that passage in the Tosefta's, quoted in the Bavli, a woman will be allowed to marry anyone, including that person who she originally had been denied the opportunity to marry with the first gerushin. So now the Yerushalmi gets to the tshuvos, to the responses. So let's read through that. There's really just one thing that I wanted to kind of hash out before we go to the Bavli, which I don't think anybody's going to be fully satisfied. But it does kind of highlight the various kinds of creativity of the Mefarshei HaYerushalmi. Sometimes being creative is coming up with a very novel interpretation of using an idea that's not really mentioned to or barely alluded to in Yerushalmi. Sometimes it's dealt with creativity in changing the text. So one way or the other, because that's where the Pnei Moshe and the Karban Eda come down. And I want to try to, even the Pnei Moshe edits one thing in the text. And I want to show you how I could also easily edit the text to make, and of course, if I were going to edit the text, what would I make the Yerushalmi say? Exactly what the Bavli says. Well, the truth is, it's pretty clear that the Sifrei and the Tosefta probably say what the Bavli says. The Bavli says it most clearly, and so the natural tendency is to want to read the Yerushalmi that way. Also, now, I don't like to do that, except for when I have no idea what the Yerushalmi means. Then at least you know that... I'm not sure it's true here, by the way. I'm going to propose inundation to you, but I think I want to leave the Yerushalmi's text untouched, because I think the Yerushalmi's text is duplicated enough that both of them read the same way. So I don't think that there's a textual error here. I think there's an understanding difficulty here. But if I couldn't make heads or tails of the Yerushalmi and I were convinced there was a corruption in the text, then everybody's going to try to edit it towards something you're going to edit it to something that makes sense. And the only thing that's going to make sense to you is something that you've seen in one of the other sources, unless it's like an obvious svara, right? Okay, and the question is, what then does that tell us? Does it tell us that it's really the same thing as the other Tosefta formulation which fits with Bavli? I mean, is that your argument?
Yeah, I mean, Or does that just mean that the Vienna was edited towards the Babli?
Well, my argument is that seemingly the Sefer Yerushalmi are preserving some more difficult earlier relations, and Vienna was edited.
Fair enough. So I think we do at least have to try to grapple with it. So I assume you have an explanation for Yerushalmi. Okay, so let's take a look. Sammy, can I ask you to start reading Amar Rabbi Yosef HaLevi in the Yerushalmi, where it says Nun Amar Aleph. I don't know if I commented, by the way. The dafim in the, I don't know what the dafim are in the, and I know what they are. The dafim structure in the Yerushalmi, when you see a reference to daf, like if you use the Bar Ilan, they'll give you Perek and Halacha, you know, which is fairly straightforward, and then they'll also give you the daf and Amud. The daf and Amud system is from the first printed edition of the Yerushalmi, which was the Vienna edition in probably the 15 teens, I think. I don't remember the exact year, but approximately that time. I think that's around the time. And in that edition, first they did two things that are different than what you're used to seeing in the Babli. Number one, well, three things. Firstly, they start with Daf Aleph. Number two, they do not restart the Daf counting every Masechta. They do an entire Seder with continuous Daf. That's how it's usually done. And finally, the third thing is that there are four amudim on each daf, because on every page they're printed in two columns. I don't know the reason why. There's probably a known reason. If I have to guess, the reason why you don't want to print it in one column, in one row, a single column, is because it's very hard for your eye to get from the end of the previous line to the beginning of the next line without, you know, often jumping back. The more you split it up, you might lose a little bit of space in between the columns, but it's much easier to read, you know, to keep your eye going. So it's really, you'll see Daf and Amud. Amud goes Aleph through Dalid. By the way, the Vienna edition is not the only printed book that you will find. There are a lot of editions of Rishonim. I was just looking at something over Shabbos in the Kolbo, I think it's the Kolbo, where it's the same system, where there are four. I assume it's pretty common. They print the two columns on a page, so when you get references to it, they give you an Amud, Aleph through Dalid. So those are the daf starts at the beginning of the Masechta, the beginning of the Seder, and is not restarted every Masechta, and also it's printed with four columns. It's why this is I don't know if Kiddushin is actually the last one in Yerushalmi. You see there 50 dafim, and you might be thinking that's nuts. How could that be? Because after all, I think in the Babli there are, I don't know, 600 something blocks in Seder Nashim. But when you stop to consider, there's no commentary here. So if you were to take the Babli and print it without commentary, it would be a lot shorter. You probably also understand very little of it, but it would be a lot shorter, so you have less to get through and not understand. Okay.
There's one light Babli.
Well, yes.
No
commentary. Wow. Okay.
I don't know who wants it, but...
Someone who knows Shas already and wants to pass it quickly. All right, so go ahead. Show me a question.
Didn't you say last year about there was this one school that wants to teach without Rashi and trying to make it some Gemaras? Or is that someone else?
I don't remember saying that. It doesn't sound familiar to me. So anyway. Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
Amar Yosef Lili, Matina Vitor, Asolazah, Motorazah, Motorazah, Asolazah.
Now, how would you read that sentence, by the way? How would you punctuate it?
We find in the Torah that there are isses and there are mutters and there are mutters and there are isses.
That's not punctuation, that's a translation. I put a question mark after mine. You know, because it's, in other words, Amar Yisagli, Matzina Bat Torah, Asal Azeh, Mutal Azeh, Mutal Azeh, Azeh? Do we ever find such a thing? What do you mean? Continue, because the next part is declarative. Go ahead.
Asal Afad, Asal Afol, Adam, Mutal Afol, Mutal
Mutal Echad, Mutal Echal Adam. In other words, here, if I have a piece of chazer on the desk, are you allowed to eat it? Is Moshe allowed to eat it? Is anyone in this room allowed to eat it? No. Right, so, and if I put a piece of galat kosher meat with all the chumers of the Beis Yosef, the Malashim has the chumers on the desk, can you eat it?
No, it's yours.
Thanks. With permission. Is that why you can't eat the chaser? No. So the answer is yes. It's mutter. So obviously, the best, the Babli, we will see, ask the kind of question, what do you mean? Truma. No Kohanim, right? You know the Kohanim? Okay. So, but any Levium here? A lady, I got to remember the name. So you're a lady? So according to Rabbi Meir, you can eat my solution, the rest of us can't. We don't pass that. We can all eat my solution. It belongs to you, but we can all eat it. It's chulin. Okay. I wasn't planning you get a nice solution from my backyard. Don't worry. So the Bible will ask, you know, you have things that do fall in the gaps. You have truma, most of the coin, sus and lazar. All right. So anyway, but this is Rabbi Yosef said, it makes no sense. She's an ishus ishul agabe, this one guy, and she's mutaras to chol adam, that can't be. All right, so that's Rabbi Yosef said, Blizzard's response. Continue.
So Rabbi Akiva answers and says that she should bring this Kohen according to her first husband, and then that guy, the divorcer dies.
Who was the Kohen?
The Kohen is the guy that the husband said you're not
excluded, okay, him. Right. And then the husband dies after divorcing her by him.
Right.
So what emerges from that is what should her status, what? How would we label her?
We would label her as an almana. No, sorry. As a
kereshit.
To everyone else
she's kereshit, but to him. But she's a crucial all of the Kohanim, but an amana to this one Kohen. Why? Because she wasn't a gereshit at life. So now, that's a reasonable assertion in terms of the labeling. That doesn't tell us halachically what's mutter, what's asr. So now, go ahead. So that seems also straightforward. I think everybody interprets that. A grusha is more chamur than amana because... The Yishalmi doesn't explain why, but why is a grusha more? How do you know a grusha is more chamur than amana? Okay, and who can't marry an almana? Kohen Gadol. So the scope of the issue of grusha is a broader scope because it's more chamura, right? Or you would say that in a Kohen Hedyot, the fact that the Torah prohibits a grusha, allows an almana, shows you that a grusha has a greater taint of Isser. And so the Torah prohibits even a Kohen Hedyot. So here's everything so far is straightforward in the Yishalmi. It's the next four clauses with sandwiching this one little five word clause in the middle, that's difficult. Ma.
Ma in Grusha Hamura Lafo Lom Nisara Mima Sha Huzar Ba Mitzar Gerushim Shalom. Amana Kala in Nodin Sha Tisar Mima Sha Huzar La Mitzar Isha Ish Shalom.
Okay, so let's try to figure this out. Ma, the Grusha, who is Hamura, I don't know what to do with that word Lakol. Unless it means it's usher to more people. Given my brothers, I would take out that word lakol. Okay? Lo nesra, that's not a major change. Lo nesra mimasha hutarba mitzad gerushin shaba. She is not prohibited from that which she was permitted in just because she has a tzad gerushin. So what does that sound like? It sounds like she's allowed to that one guy, because she's an almana. In other words, the grusha who's chamura was not nesra mima shehutar ba mitzad gerushin shava. So therefore, yes, Ephraim.
Are there two populations that could be referenced by the mitzad gerushin shava? Meaning, that guy is going on the nesra or the hutar.
Again, lo nesra, I'm reading lo nesra mitzad gerushin shava mimasha hutava. In other words, just because the tzad gerushin that she has, legabe other kohanim, she would not be neseras to this one. Okay, almana kala, is it not a kal v'chomer that she should be prohibited? Oh, so this is a problem. I think even the Pnei Moshe changes the gears here. To say Almana Kana Ena Din Shabote Yase Mimashin Hutar La Mitzad Eishas Yishava. So, but I'm going to read as we have it, because if you look at the second clause, look in the second half, Uma Almana Nesra Mimashin Hutar La
mitzad. No, I guess it really should be lo teos emesh hutavon mitzad ishus shiva. So an almana kala should not be prohibited in that which she has been permitted because of the tzad ishus ish. So this is really strange. What's strange about it is there's no almana here. Notice there are what are the two cases here? At least the way it seems to be constructed in the Yerushalmi, and this Rav as well. The case in the Mishnah we know. There's no argument about that. What's the case in the Mishnah? Is the man alive or dead in the Mishnah? He's alive. After the Gerushin, he's alive. And the question is, if she's an Eishes Ish Lagabe, the one guy he excluded, is she an Eishes Ish Lagabe everybody else? In the case that the Yerushalmi introduces, to somehow certain that Yerushalmi, Rabbi Akiva introduces to serve as a jumping off point, as a comparative, it's a case where the case of the Mishnah with two additional details. Number one, the excluded party was a Kohen. Number two, the husband then dies after giving this get. So in the case of the Mishnah, we're dealing with a woman who is grusha legabe everybody in the world except for one guy with respect to whom she is an Eishes Ish. In the case that the Yerushalmi introduces, we're dealing with a woman who is with respect to all relevant parties since the husband is dead, meaning all Kohanim, she is a grusha except for this one Kohen who was excluded, who she is now an almana. So what's that? That's the problem. Right, the first clause, Umayin Grusha Chamur Lakol Lo Nesim Rashuta Mitzad Gershin Shabbat, presumably talking about the Mishnah's case. Almana Kala in Adin Shitei Asim in Rashahuta Le Mitzad Ishis Ishaba is presumably talking about Rabbi Akiva's case. But doesn't add up. So then, I'm still not sure what to do. Afilu Etzlo Nagubo Gershin. So I think correct. Absolutely correct. That five words seem to say. So they're almost setting up the part in the Yerushalmi, the first part, is an effect of Havamina. Like this is what it, would you actually say this? And we'll call it a Havamina. And then you state, Afilu etzla belgubo gerushin. That even Lagabe, the one excluded Kohen, the gerushin have an effect. She's labeled as a grusha. And therefore, Uma almana nesra mimasha hutorla mitzad heshes ishaba, gerushin chamurin lo kosha ken shete asa mimasha hutorla mitzad gerushin shaba. So now we're turning around and saying, if this case of the almana, and the problem is, it shouldn't be Eishes Ishava. It should be Nesra and Masha Hutala, Mitzad Eishes Ish, Itpria Mitzad Grusha Shava, Gerishin Hamurin Lokosha Kinshu, Tiasa Mimasha Hutala, Mitzad Eishes Ishava. That's where it seems it should be going, except for the words are wrong. Ephraim.
If you read Mirash Hutta as the reason why you should.
Mitzad, the reason why she'd be us are good, go ahead.
Then it's the reason why she's mutter to the initial line, the reason why she's mutters to the Plony Almana, to the Plony, because there's no one that Mitzad Ishes Ishava before. And now also, Almana and Esra.
Let's just read the second half, because whatever, if we figure out the second half, we understand the first half too. So what does it mean? Uma Almana Nesra. So let me make a textual point that Ephraim asked me the question earlier and how he's going back to it. When it says mitzad eishes ishava, we would translate on account of, because of that side of her that is the following. Is that a reason to be matir, or is that a reason to be osir? Now I suggest that originally reading, it's a reason to be matir. And mitzad gerushin shava. Now, if you don't want to read it that way, to reason to be osa. Let's go with that. Let's take the same. Ma almana
which is Kala, was Nesor Mimasha Hutarla. She's prohibited anyway, Mitzad should have been Gerushin Shiva, if we're reading it that way. Gerushin Chamurin Lokosha Kentri Asr Mitzad Masha Hutarla Mitzad Ishisin Shiva. Right, it's reversed. Right? I think the closing line of Rabbi Akiva's argument has to be that the Kohen Almana, the dead husband case, Rabbi Akiva's case, if in that case she's a Grusha Lagabe, even this Kohen, Kavachomer in the Mishnah's case, she's an Eish Hashish Lagabe, everybody else. So if you could just reverse, they don't want to, if you could just reverse the Eish Hashish Shabbat and Gerushin Shabbat, it would make sense. It would make perfect sense. Ma Amana Nesra Mimasha Hutar La, because Mitzad Gerushin Shabbat, even though it's not a Grusha with respect to her, she's still Asura because of that Tzad Lagabe of a Kohanim. Gerushin Chamurin Lo Kosha Kein Shete Asa Mimasha Hutar La Mitzad Eishes Ishiva. Now, let's amend the text for a second and just ask a question. We may not actually solve this because most of us have spent some time cracking our heads and still don't have a clear understanding without editing the text. But let's conceive the textual image. So I'm doing this because it's an exercise to think about what everybody is confronting in the Yerushalmi. Let's assume for the moment we get to reverse that. I just want to ask a question on the Svara. Does the Svara make any sense? Let me ask you a question. What is going to be the determining factor whether the women who are permitted will be prohibited anyway? Is it going to be their, I'll call their original status, the Almana in one case and the Grusha in the Mishnah's case? Or is it going to be a function of what Isser might be floating on everybody else and now will float onto them? Which would you say? If you're making a Kavachomer. In other words, you have a woman who's an Almana, but there's a Tzad Gerushin, with respect to this guy, but there's a Tzad Gerushin Shiva. You have a woman who is a Grusha with respect to most people, but there's a Tzad Ishiva with one person. If you want to make a Kavachomer, if you want to say that the Isser spreads out in one case, because it spreads out in the other, which piece has to be more chamor? The reason why they're mutter, or the reason why they should be aser? Jake?
The more chamor case should be the one spreading out to everyone.
Correct. The reason why this, in other words, in the case that Rabbi Akiva adds, it should be the tzad geirushin that's going to aser this one guy, should be compared to the tzad eishesish that's going to aser all these people. Forget the numbers of people. That's not really relevant here. Right? Or let's make up the Mishnah's case. Let's change it slightly. Hareat Muteris Laploni and to nobody else. Right? That's the Holchavai Salih Shachar. She can marry one guy. That would be more comparable here, right? In the case of Rabbi Akiva's case, she's a Grusha with respect to all Kohanim except for one Kohen, which is just Almana. And in the modified Mishnah's case, she's an Eishes Ishah with respect to everybody except for this one guy, she's a Grusha. So if you want to say that in Rabbi Akiva's case, she's Asura because of this other Tzad, Kavachomer in the Mishnah's case, what to assume do you have to compare? Rabbi Akiva's case is she's an Almana with respect to him, but a Grusha with respect to everybody else. In the Mishnah's case, she's a Grusha with respect to him, but an Ashes Ish with respect to everybody else. So do you want to compare Almana to Grusha or Grusha to Ashes Ish? Shimon? Grusha to Ashes Ish. If the whole idea is that the power of the Isser of Grusha is so strong it can spread out and overwhelm the Almana, then the comparison is that the Eishes Ish Isser is so chamer it can overwhelm the Grusha. That would all depend upon the strength of Eishes Ish with respect to the strength of Grusha.
It's a bit different because in the case of the Kohen, there's a much more severe Isser at play. So I mean, there's much more reason to be conservative in that case and much more reason to...
What Isser are you comparing in the Kohen case versus the Mishnah case?
The Kohen case, there's an Isser deraisa of a Kohen marrying
a Grusha.
Right? And then in the same distinction that Yerushalmi made in the other cases, right? Like the question was like, who gave the ability to make like these distinctions? So, right? Like they said, like, the Torah can make distinctions, and like your distinctions are like somewhat of a rung lower. Right? The Torah can have a case where there's a potential of an Isser of Yibum of a Ermal when it comes to Yibum, right? They can do that.
But you can't. Okay.
But aren't both of these cases generated the same way? In other words, think about it. He makes his wife a grusha with respect to all kohanim except for one.
Yeah, it's the same like process. It's the same like template is the same. Yeah.
But and then he makes his wife a ashes if with respect to one guy, but a grusha with respect to everybody else. I think when you compare them, he is generating both of these oddities. If he gave her a straightforward get, in one case should be a grusha legabe the chokalanim, and in the other case should be an ashes if legabe nobody.
So the grusha, the status as a grusha, that's more equal. So you figure that that has more of the ability to spread out and to overtake one more person or a bunch more people. But the status of almanah that only is on one guy, that doesn't have the backing.
But Almana's not going to spread anybody here. Almana's a kula in all these cases. The Isser in the Mishnah's case is Eishes Ish. The Isser in the Bikini's case is Grusha. But now it's not because Grusha is Chamura than Almana.
Yeah,
it's because correct. And it would be because Grusha affects more people than, relatively speaking, than the Eishes Ish does of the relevant population. That certainly doesn't sound like what it's stating. So let me throw out, however, the piece that we maybe have to consider for a brief moment here. And this is not a way in which we would ever think logically. In Rabbi Akiva's case, are we initially dealing with a grusha and an almana? No. What are we dealing with initially? Grusha and Eishes Ish. She then becomes an almana. So something funny actually happens, sort of conceptually, when that transition occurs. She moves from being more chamur than everybody else in this category to being less chamur than everybody else. Right? Initially, she's an Eishes Ish, and the Aveira with her, as opposed to all of the Kohanim, is much more chamur. For them, it's just a Grusha, it's a Lo Sase. Now, she flips and becomes an Eish, she becomes an Almana. It turns out she is more Kal than the rest of them. So the question is, will that concept help at all? You see, one of the problems, when you look at the... I'll tell you why I'm introducing that. Look at the line in Ushami, the first of each of those two paired lines that are hard. Uma amana nesru mimasha hutur la mitzad eshes ishava. So think about that line as meaning an almana was prohibited in that we should nesra mimasha hutur la mitzad eshes ishava. Even though, in fact, mima means despite that, despite the fact that she was hutar from the Isser Chamer of Eishes Ish, she still remains Asura. And therefore, Mitzad Eishes Ishava is the Kula. She was Hutar Mitzad Eishes Ishava when the husband dies. So, Gerushim Chamurin Lo Kol Shekein Shetei Oser Mima Shehutar La Mitzad Gerushim Shava. A Grusha which is Chamura isn't it certainly going to be the case that she's going to be prohibited despite the heter of Gerush and Shabbat? In other words, she's going to pay Oser despite Imasha Hutam and despite the fact that she got a get because she's Eishish Is with respect to one person, she is going to remain Asura. Now, all that's left to figure out now then is what is this comparison, what is the Kal V'Chomer itself? What we're saying that if the Almana, despite getting the Heter, but they don't read parallel, right? Mitzad Gerushin Shabbat was the process that was not to her. Mitzad Ishish Shabbat was the issa that she used to have. Right? Even that's a no-win situation. So let me right. The problem when you show me this approach, I realize what the problem. The problem is when you talk about the Torah Hachmira beGrusha Yosef and Amana, within Isur Kahuna, Grusha is more chaver than Amana. But not right. Not with respect. There's Grusha can be two things. Grusha can be reason to ask you to come in, and Grusha can be reason why a woman is because the chaladim. It's really. I don't know. I don't know what to do. The carbonated literally runs over the text with a steamroller and just says correct it and make it read like the Bavli reads. The Pnei Moshe tries to fetch something which I don't really even want to introduce about when it relates to actually the question of Isser Chalal Isser. Strangely enough, that if you have a woman who is already an Ashes Ish, can she be? Does she say Mishum Neser Mishum Eishasach? Am I making that up? No, that's not Levi. Okay, fine. So I'm ready to give up and go to the last part of the Yerushalmi. I think everybody's ready to give up. Anyway, I'm not ready to give up with him, but okay. I hope we open a few possibilities, none of which actually work fully through. I suspect that if the text of the Yerushalmi is not actually been corrupted, then what you're dealing with is something in those ideas floating around. The Yerushalmi doesn't always think clearly the way the Babli thinks. And when I say that, I mean, we think like the Babli. We've been conditioned to think in a certain way, and I'm not sure that they always think in the same way. Okay, so let's get the last two lines. Firstly, Dabar Acher. Say it again.
Dabar Acher, Harei Sha'amar Allah, Harei Ed Mater, Rafal Adam, Chutz Miploni, but
okay, the Yaldam Imanu Banim.
The Yaldam Imanu Banim, the Maid, Halacha, Benasita, La Otam, O Nitsu, Bana, Nin Haharon,
Amzeru. Right, she married somebody else, as she should have. And now she has children. Now that guy dies. And then she marries the guy she wasn't supposed to marry. And then it will turn out that retroactively she was a married woman. She was never divorced. And now the children will be mamzer. So the Yerushalmi just adds a comment in here, which is... What's that?
I thought it says that we don't find
them too much. Lo nimtz, no, it's rhetorical. Lo nimtz, ba'anem, and achayim. What this tells you, this is arguing on the earlier assumption, the fact that the second husband married her, and it says, I think the choice of Gerushin here, there's Misa here, shows you Pshat and Yerushalmi is not like the Pnei Moshe. It means Gerushin and Misa are not a matzah. Of course, the Pnei Moshe would say, no, it's Bedavka. Yeah, he has to change the Gerushin here, I think, to say, only Gerushin is Mitzah. He said only Gerushin is Matir, but not Misa. Right. Only Gerushin. When I say Matir, it means when she marries another guy, who she's allowed to, the original vow's Tfisa is disappeared. She can then subsequently marry the guy she wasn't allowed to marry. So this Braisa, this part says it's not true, because she married a guy she was allowed to marry. And according to the opinion earlier, that should have dissolved the first marriage completely, and now if she had children from the marriage and that husband died or divorced her, she could go marry the guy who was originally excluded. And they're not going to meet on Zerah retroactively. So the Yerushalmi says, no, Milsa Amra, this position means She'in Gerishin Matirin Masha Asarishin, because otherwise there would be no concern, there wouldn't be Manzer. Alright, last piece on Yerushalmi, Yoni. Thank you, Sammy. Go ahead.
Shami,
I don't know.
But
So he seems to be asking a question or making an observation. It could be either way, which is, you have a woman who is initially not an Erva, and later she becomes an Erva. What does that mean here?
So, would it be a question?
It doesn't have to be. Either way, Rabbi Mana is responding to it by showing a parallel. So either could be Rav Shami is saying, how can this be? And Rabbi Mana says, I'll show you, in the reverse. Or Rav Shami is just observing, see how interesting this is. And Rabbi Mana says, yeah, and you also have it in the reverse. Either way, I think it means the same thing. Shami, what are you going to say? Rabbi Akiva is Davar Acher, which is, how is it possible, or note that it's possible, that initially there's no Chiyuv in Shmerva, because she married this guy, had children, and everything was wonderful. Mazel tov. And then later she goes, marries the guy she wasn't supposed to, and it turns out the Mafreya, the first woman, was an Erva. So B'Shas Maisa, when he did it, it was Mutar. And then later he turned around and said that it's Aser, it was an Erva. In response to that, Rabbi Mona says, this is actually a very important line in the Yerushalmi that I have not seen quoted, but is actually very relevant for Tznayim and Gittin in general. I've never seen, by the way, I never heard of a get being done al Tanai. But you know, some of you might have seen, I forget who quotes this, maybe none of you have seen, that Rav Nachshon Naigon talks about, the Ramah quotes, maybe you didn't see it, the Ramah quotes the Rav Nachshon Naigon. You know why a husband would exclude his wife from marrying a man?
Jealousy?
Yep. He suspected she had an affair with him, but he has no proof. So they strongly discover, Nachshonai strongly discourages doing, I think his strong strategy is doing it instead, tell the Beis Din. So they'll scream, no, don't make it tonight again. We don't want to possibly have some suffix later arrange among Zeus and so on. But tell the Beis Din, so they'll beat him over the head if they try marrying one another. That's the solution to the problem. Don't make a shear in the get. But the way you do it, if you want to make sure it really works, is you make a shear in the get. You say, which is complicated in many ways as we're going to explore, because number one is not chutz mifloni, excuse me. I'm a national finasi lefloni. Because we all know the Mishnah, you all know the machlokas, you all know we're not going to pass like Rabbi Eliezer, because we almost never pass like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Chachamim, most of you have seen the opening of the Gemara, we discussed it a little bit. Either the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer argue by Almanas, or they argue by Chutz. And at least the way the Bavli presents initially, if they argue by Chutz, then everybody agrees Almanas works. If they argue by Almanas, everybody agrees Chutz doesn't work. So assuming the Mishnah, as the Gemara will read it, is it's Chutz, not Almanas. So on the surface, we should pass that Almanas works. So assuming that Almanas works, there's another little problem, by the way. In making sure that your ex-wife, there's something about your woman that sounds like it's your possession. It's supposed to be your wife. What?
What?
No, but I call your woman. It's one thing to say your wife, because you say your wife. It doesn't mean it's kind of possessive, because wife itself implies a relationship. It means your wife means the woman who is married to you. Your woman sounds like your Gemara, your friend. I didn't mean to say it that way. So assuming you make such a tanai with your wife. So when does that tanai in effect expire? Wow. So it expires in the sense when the guy dies, because dead men do not marry. That's a basic halacha principle. Marriage requires das of both parties. Dead people have no das. Their neshamas might, but their neshamas are along with the guf. And the neshamas don't make kiddushin, gufim make kiddushin. Gufim with neshamas. So the question is that krisis? See, if you told your wife, Almanas, that you don't marry so and so for the next 10 years, we've not touched on Almanas, Tishdiyayin, have you seen that yet? You give your wife a get on the condition you don't drink wine, it's no good, because it's not krisis. But if you give her a national Tishri Yayin for 10 years, then it's krisus because assuming she lives for 10 years, you know, then she can drink wine after that. So this is the case. If you don't attach a time limit to the remarriage, is that krisus or not? The machlokas arishon. We'll talk about that. So anyway, that's why you would actually pull off such shit. Yes, sir.
So if the reason that you would put on this condition is because it acts jealousy, why not just avoid the whole whether or not it actually works and just put like 20 years on it? And there's no way they're going to do that. 20 years.
Okay, so you could, but that might be making it work. But we don't want any tsunami because we're afraid that she'll violate the tsunami and there'll be all sorts of ramifications that emerge from it. Right? Like Rabbi Akiva's case, she'll marry someone else. 20 years later, that guy dies. Very nice. She has 4 kids, and now her long lost flame. I'm gonna go back to him. So you know, and it's not 20 years yet. You know, it's 18 years, but I don't want to wait. So I'm gonna marry him again. And she figured, listen, we're not gonna have children and so on, of course. My friend, I'm on there. So we discourage it. It would appear the psach in the Shulchan Aruch, whether or not Almanasis works, is itself a machlokas, as you will see. Because there's a machlokas of Rishonim, which I'm spilling the beans a little bit, because when you read the Gemara, you wouldn't actually believe that. You would think that the Maskan of the Gemara is very clear about the scope of the machlokas of this and the Chachamim. So more, we have a whole bunch of things to deal with in Tanai. The first two Mishnayos in our parak until about the Pei Vav or so, or issues of Tanai. Tanayim in Gittin. I mean, there's stuff earlier in the Masechta, although that's more about interpretive stuff, and here it's more about substantive issues. So, anyway, so we have some issues. We have a bunch of issues to deal with, right?
The
other
issue
that
really talks about is when people talk about Mamzeus, it just makes sense to me because the first husband essentially is the Onis Ahirka. And if she's talking about the Isra Erba, and if you sort of compare with Raymond's response, he's referring to the actual
legal
with the phone.
Well, let's just read Ramon's response first. Did we read it yet? Did we explain it? You read it? So what is the case? So I know why it's why I told you this is because is a woman allowed to marry before the condition has been fully either fulfilled or made impossible? There are two kinds of conditions you can make when you divorce, whenever you make something. Let's say in divorce. One condition is a positive. You have to do something. On the condition that you do something. The other is on the condition that you don't do something. Now, on the condition that you do something, that's an easier sign, but it could also be more humorous. It's an easier sign because she can fulfill it. And once she fulfills it, there's no concerns anymore. Of course, she's vigorous. The downside to that sort of thing is maybe it's no good until she does it because maybe she won't do it. On a Tanai Almanash Shalom that you shouldn't do X, assuming that there's no real expiration date on it. And assuming Almanash Shalom Tinasi or Tibali, Almanash Shalom Tasta the Plony, on the condition you don't marry X, we might say that she's not allowed to get married as long as X is alive. Once X is dead, then we know that the Tanai will never ever be violated and the get is a good get. So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. So assume for the moment in this case that what does the Yerushalmi sound like? The Yerushalmi says, what is this similar to? A man said to his wife, this is your get on condition that you have bia with such and such a person. So what's the case here? Well, now anyway, okay. So she had sex with this person. So isn't that perfect? She went to fulfill the tanai. What's the problem? Did she?
Yeah. Meaning the condition to fulfill the divorce was to have bia. Therefore, if she didn't have bia, she was still married.
But when is the divorce hal?
After it happened, right? Meaning it's like a split second.
It says, generally speaking, when you say when she gives the 200 zuz, her date of divorce is the day that he gave her. So it's a really superficial, it's a very strange comparison because this appears to be a superficial observation. Now, if one wanted a better case, but I don't think this is the case in the Yerushalmi, this would be a case where she actually married someone else. Subsequent to that, she gets divorced, widowed, and she has bia with the person. So that we understand. What's that?
It becomes unmamzer.
Well, I don't know if they were ever mamzer. Technically, they were suffix mamzer. They were totally dekai. We were waiting to find out whether they were mamzer or not. In Las Vegas, the odds maker were taking bets, which you ever had to deal with Plony, and prevent the children from becoming mamzer. You see somebody running that. An Instagram campaign. Help these children! Right? Okay, so it's not clear from the Yerushalmi. I would like to see it that way, because then it would be a little more parallel to the case that we have here. And it's here's a case where Harizah Gitech HaManasha Loti Badli the Plony, and she goes as a family, and then afterwards gets divorced, widow, whatever it is, and she's Nivellas the Plony. In fact, she doesn't have to get divorced or widowed for that one. She has an affair from the second husband. It will turn out that not only was that an affair from the it won't be an affair from the second husband, that and every bia she had with the, at least she had three husbands, so I got to make this clear. Husband one divorced her with this funny clause. Husband two marries her. Husband three was the one excluded in the funny clause. So if she's married to husband two and then she has bia with husband three, it undoes the marriage of husband two. But it now turns out that both this bia and all of husband two's bias were adultery because of husband number one. So that's what the Yerushalmi is observing, or that's what Yerushalmi is either complaining about or observing. And Rabbi Mana points that the opposite can be true as well. Yes, if I.
She's not really
a suffix.
Her actual status is a suffix.
Yeah. A suffix. So it makes some more sense to read it the way Shimi wants to read it, which is that if that she marries someone else in between, and only later is she Nivellas Laploni. Whereas if she is never Nivellas Laploni in the end, it will turn out that marriage in between was all adultery. When she has bia subsequent ploni, so hutar haget lemafreya. In other words, basically the first marriage now becomes the heter. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva's case, where the first marriage was the heter, and then only later, because the get we assumed was chal, and only later when she goes and marries ploni, or does whatever with ploni, do we say retroactively, turns out the get was never a get. Well, I'm assuming, if Shin is correct, after a divorce or death from that second marriage, when she has bia with third guy, it retroactively makes the second marriage valid. Of course, you could. Of course, that would be a really fun case. Almanas, did I say Almanas Shetibali the Plony? Let's say she marries husband two. And now she goes and she has bia with Ploni. So right now, before she has bia with Ploni, she's not married to husband two. She's married to husband one. But the bia with husband number with Ploni removes the ishesis from husband number one and now makes her ishesis husband number two.
Okay.
And clearly we have too much time on our hands, so it's time to move on to the Babri. Right. What's that? I'm sorry? Well, the catch is that according to Shimi, why would she say we say that she's this would be more like Hito to be Yado Bang Kachat. You know, to the extent that she says she's not clearly Megureshes yet. So, in other words, if you ask the following, Ephraim, listen, I want to marry this guy. He's not going to live so long. We want a 5-year marriage. We want to have kids. We like each other, but we're going to get divorced in a minute. And I'll take care of the bia afterwards with this guy. I'll make him wait, but, fine. We would say, not a good idea, right? Because who knows what's going to happen. But if the woman said, okay, he was Megarish Me'el Manasta Shepi with this guy, but this guy's willing to have bia with me, can we have bia? Well, the answer is, why not? Because as soon as you have the bia, there'll be mother. It'll be like a Gita the other one. Yeah. So why do you say that B'tchilo Aso Libal of Arbal Hutar Aget Lamafreya? Why is it really Aso Libal? This is the time to make her Shabi Gita the other one. That's, I think, why Shimi does it rightfully, because not like that reading.
If you're trying
there's an Isser Bia before she has Bia. But because you know that Bia is automatically going to undo those Isserim Lafreya, you're fine. Because it's an automatic success.
Isn't that exactly the point? I think that's exactly the point that we're trying to make. Why is it supervision?
It serves to the Atonement says it serves to the goal.
Of course, to whom? Maybe to anybody else before she has beer with this guy. That's what Shimon is suggesting. Then it's perfectly parallel to Rabbi Akiva's case in the reverse.
The verses don't work out. That meaning,
what's that?
I'm not sure if we should parallel to the law.
Okay. I hear, but still.
So,
why can't. Well, so have it your way. How do you want to see this?
I want to say that she's talking about the exact same case in the universe of she's. That she's. I love him. The pony is tied up. Bishamayar Rah. And about so, meaning. At the end of Rabia, Matila, and Haibun, and then she's tied up for the pony.
In which case? Would be a Kiva case?
Not in a Kiva case, in a different case. I mean, in a case where she just has to deal with the phone.
Well, what did the husband say?
Amanasha's a little bit of fun.
Well, that's Shaloti Bali the phone. That's fine.
Yeah. But, and
everything. Okay.
Yeah, so,
so you want to say, so if he says, but where's that case in the Yerushalmi?
That's just
Yerushalmi.
So what does Rav Shami mean?
That would really be Almanas Shalo Tivali Leplani.
But
Yerushalmi
doesn't have a between.
Chutz and Almanas. Fine. But I want to take it.
There's no other case.
No. But let's just say Hamezna Gipeich Me'ashal Amanash Shaloti Bali Leplani. I'd rather make it that case. Just because the Yerushalmi might not distinguish the fine, because the Yerushalmi might believe that it's all the same in terms of shear beget. Whereas the Yerushalmi not make the distinction because they might assume that if you were concerned about shear beget, you were concerned about shear beget. And if you don't think it's a shear beget, then it's not a shear beget.
Okay, so we can say that.
So let's make me happy and say Amanas. You say, if you give her a get Amanas, she'll be the pony. Before she's nevertheless the pony, she's a grusha. As soon as she's nevertheless the pony, then it's an erva. So here, before she's nevertheless the pony, she's an erva. Once she is bia, she's mutaris. Okay, fine.
It's the same situation where the single maisa sort of is circular in and of itself.
Yes, the reason why it's odd is that why did Rosh Hashanah say this here? See, if he's responding to Rabbi Akiva, then I understand what it's doing here. Otherwise, it's just cute stuff. I mean, you say, because it's the sugya of the Mishnah that, you know, Tanayim, that limit a certain person. Okay, it wasn't really necessary in a way. If Shami's responding to Rabbi Akiva, then it makes sense to start Rabbi Akiva's case. Divorced her, chutz, amanas, whatever it was, she marries such a different person, has children, then she gets divorced, and then marries the person she wasn't supposed to marry.
What was Eddie relative to Rabbi Akiva?
Well, if he's asking a question, or even if he's not, he's observing that you have this odd circumstance here that a woman's status changes and not based upon something that I would say the husband does. The husband, you know, the get isn't passive per se. You have a woman who asks, can I marry so-and-so? And the answer is, well, yes, you can marry so-and-so. You just can't marry that guy. Marry so-and-so. And then it turns out that which we would say is permitted now turns out later retroactively to have been prohibited. And I guess if he's asking a question, Rav Shami thought it was strange that such a thing could be possible. And Rabbi Yehuda points out that you have such things.
Well, not essentially the same point that he was making.
Well, they're both cases where the woman's status seems to change fundamentally well after the get is given.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
why is he not just rehashing Rabbi Yehuda's point? Technically, he was talking about Mazir, and he's talking about.
Yeah, but that's what generates the mamzer. That's the siba. I don't know. So I wish I could bring the editors of the Yerushalmi back from the dead and ask them some questions. That might be. We would find that very disappointed that many are very clear explanations. No, that's not what we meant. Okay, let's turn our attention now, okay, to the Bavli. The Bavli, no surprises, is going to be the cleanest reading. Jake, I'll ask you to read the Bavli, but I think there are going to be fundamentally no surprises, except that what the Bavli, what these Tanai mean now comes into focus a little bit. So let's start on the Tei Gimel Amal Tanarabanan. Tanarabanan.
Well, I'll talk to myself, shall I?
Notice, by the way, that this misordering here in the Hagos or Tziyunim, he points out to Sef that they're parallel, right? The names are presented as Rabbi Yosef Gali, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Lezab and Zayin, Rabbi Akiva, but the responses are not in that order, the first two up. Not really important, but go ahead. Okay. Now, take a look at Rashi for a second. She'ein Zekrisis. What does Rashi say? Rashi is very sensitive to a basic problem that I think I've highlighted here. Really. What's bugging Rashi?
What does it mean that it's not
krisis? I know what it means, it's not krisis. It means it's a get that doesn't dissolve the bond between them.
What's
Rashi's question, right?
You have the
fun
case, so
what? Yes, but it's more than that. Read the next line in the Gemara. Yes. Then there are blessed men of Zaria. Oh, sorry. Then there are blessed men of Zaria. It's not the next one. Then there are blessed men of Zaria. Then there are blessed
men of Zaria.
Okay. So take a look at Rashi, She'en so krisis. No, it's second one. Oh, so that's on Rabbi Akiva, but it doesn't matter. You can read that one as well. Okay. Right, Rashi's being very, very careful. Now read the next line in the Gemara. What is he talking about? How is that different than what came before? Look at Rashi. Hakores Veino Levena. That's from. What's bugging Rashi in this whole thing? What's really bugging all of us? And then I said it already just now. Ultimately, Rabbi Yosef is going to say that Nirin Divrei Rabbi Lazar Nazar. Yeah. How is it different than what everybody else says? Shall we?
He's arguing that this disagrees with the fundamental definition of a get, as opposed to the other, so just finding specific cases that would cause problems.
And therefore, with
the others, we can find problems with the cases, but he has a more fundamental point that we can't
think of. Shimi, you're barking up the right tree, but you're not. You're correct that Rabbi Mazaya sees this as a fundamental definition, and the other Tanaim do not see it as a fundamental definition. And if you want further proof of this, let me ask you a question. What is the Malkar in the Torah for Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbi Yosef HaGalili or Rabbi Akiva that such a condition is no good? Where do they learn it from? No. How do they know that this is not a good get? Where do they learn it from? Right?
First principles that are hard to know and good things.
Where do they not learn it from?
Creatures.
How do you know that?
logic and or Rashi.
Rashi? Okay. I have a better riot. But Ephraim just said something very important. He's correct. The way Rashi understands, and it's Mochrach, undoubtedly correct, is that when the other Tanaim, even though they use the words Halamadatash in Zakrisus, they're not talking about Krisus, the word in the Torah. How do I know that? Because the Gemara, I forget who points this out. One of the Rishonim does point this out. I think I might have realized this before also. On Pei Gimel Amud Beis, when you get to the end of the Sugya, the Gemara says, if you go on, turn to Pei Gimel Amud Beis, go to in the narrow lines, above the wide lines, go up 10 lines. Go back 12 lines actually. Nana Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Amar. You see, Jake? Go ahead.
Kritos, Zabana, Kritos, Benovina, Hamata Shetha Kritos. Verabana, high Kritos. Maya Avdi Lay.
Maya Avdi Lay, stop. What's the Gemara's question? What does that mean? Verabana and high Kritos, Maya Avdi
Lay. How do they read that?
What do they do with that with the word Kritos? Which tells you what? No. No, that for everybody else, for Rabbi Tarfa, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and Rabbi Akiva, they weren't using Krisus to teach you the din that they stated there. They were disqualifying Rabbi Eliezer's get on some other grounds, but not because of the word Krisus. Because if they were doing it on the basis of the word Krisus, correct. It's not. In other words, you want to ask the question. Just as Rabbi Lazar says, "Lomemar krisus ella davar kares ve'nolavevah." So to the other term, they say, "Kares the krisus means something that doesn't cause akiras dam in the Torah. Krisus is something that doesn't cause people to come down zayin lafreya. Krisus is something that is also for everybody." Whatever Rabbi Yosef's taina was. So it's clear from the Gemara here they are not learning from krisus. They are doing something else. And the question is, what is that something else? Shimi was feeling for it, but he didn't have a good definition. Again, you look at the Rashi, and Rashi says, She'ein zekrisus amor b'Torah. What that really means is not that the krisus that's in the Torah. This is not the process, the get that the Torah prescribes. Shelo amor Torah krisus oker davar min haTorah. That, or in Rabbi Akiva, both of these, I think, highlights. And think about Rabbi Yosef Haglili's taina. Heicha matzino that one is mortal lezeh and asur lezeh. Any thoughts on this? What are they saying? Ephraim stated, what did you say? You said first principles. Oh, good. I like the last part. I don't like the first principles one. First principles would be first principles of Gittin, I think. But that would be Rabbi Yosef Haglili. I'm not sure you meant by first principles. So let me tell you, let me remind you about a particular interesting din. Man becomes a mitzora. And finally, he's healed from his taras. So what does the Torah say to purify him? What do we do? So there's a whole lengthy process. What's the first stage in the process? The lakach lamitaher shtei tziporim ve'etheres u'shin solas ve'ezov. You take two birds and a few other piece of wood, some yarn, red dyed yarn, and some hyssop, whatever hyssop is. Anyone know what hyssop is? HYSSOP. But you've heard the word, seen the word. Ezov is translated as hyssop. Some kind of a grass. Look in Felix, they'll tell you what azov is. You look in there, you see a picture, you still won't know what I won't know what azov is. You get someone who goes on hikes, and I can tell you where the trails are, but some people can look at the plants and tell you what every one is. What do you do with the two birds? Well, one of them, you shecht over the mine chayim, that you have to take that, and you shecht it, and you take the dead bird, and you tie the other things up, and you dip them in the water, and you sprinkle on the mitzora. And then what do? You take the other bird, the living bird, and you say bye-bye birdie. Now, what do you do with the dead bird? You bury it, because it's also banah. Now, how do you know that the other bird is not also bana as well? You do this mitzvah with the, you know, for the mitzvah, and maybe it should be a kind of kashrut and it's mutter bana. So what's the answer? So the Gemara has three answers. Two of them are drushes from Sukkot, but Rava doesn't quote a pasuk. What does Rava say?
That if it were really us right now, we'd be doing releasing this to cause other people to have problems.
Lo amra Torah, shlach letakola. The Torah would never say send that bird away when it's setting up a pitfall for people. If we're not allowed to dig a bor b'rishis haravim, the Torah is not going to tell us to dig a bor b'rishis haravim for her the other. I believe that's what the Rishonim are saying here, and that's what I find. You're right, it's a combination of first principles, Racha Dachanon, but it's not just this lofty idea of Racha Dachanon. It's the idea that when the halacha constructs certain institutions, it doesn't set people up for failure. It's inconceivable the Torah would permit a get, where a woman could go in such a way, marry someone else, and then come back and marry this guy, or retroactively make the first marriage, which was seen to have been mutter at the time, and they're behaving properly, and retroactively turn them into a zayin. The Torah does not say, the Torah, when it speaks about writing a get, not a sefer krisus, not the work, as we can see from Pei Gilomay, it's nothing to do with the work. The Torah would not have a process of gerushin, which would cause akirusim in the Rabbana Torah. It would not have a process of gerushin that would be cause of psul. Or, that fits better with Racha Dachanon, what fits better with first principles of Yosei Aglidi. The Torah doesn't have a get that says, are you mutter to this guy, also to that guy. Right? The get is mocked to everybody. Remember, the fact that she's asura to a kohen with a regular get, she's not asura to a kohen because of the get per se. The get is why she's not an Eis HaShish. The reason why she's asura to a kohen is because she's a grusha, that's a totally separate thing. The get isn't per se goren, the isur. Whereas the get is goren hefer. The get's purpose is to remove the isur Eis HaShish. A side effect happens to be an isur grusha. Isur grusha is also to kohen and mutter to the isur eimu, the zara. But the idea that a get says that you're mutter to some people, that it's matzir halfway, zelo matzir, that's not the way the Torah works. Because remember, by the way, even to a kohen, there's nesa begrusha, the get does the exact same thing for a kohen, that's for Yisrael. What is that? It removes the eitzah. Yeah. So I think it's clear when you read Rashi, he's aware, the Gemara makes clear that these other three Tanaim are not thinking about krisus. Not, they use the word halamadot to change the krisus, but as one of the Bishon says, I forget who says it, maybe the Rashba and the Rizvah will say it. It doesn't mean it's not krisus, it means it's not a get. This is not geush. Only Rav Loza ben Azariah says that no, this is not krisus. But what is Rabbi Elazar's position? What's Rav Loza ben Azariah's position? What is he saying? Yeah.
That the definition of krisus means that total cutting of ties
to the
accused, so they can't still
be partially married. I didn't like the first half of that formation. I did like the second. You know what the Gemara's teretz is for the Rabbanan? What is krisus? You could scan ahead on page Gemara on the base. What does krisus demand? Or what possible to get because it's not krisus? I'm sure some of you have seen it. Brian, you've seen it? Yeah, I'm an ashlo tishtiyai in your entire life. In other words, it's got to cut all the strings in between. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position? No. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says krisus is a din in the get per se. In other words, and I'm going to correct that, krisus is a din in what defines gerushin. In other words, what is the purpose of gerushin? It's to be matir, it's to, in the same way that you can't have, I said this earlier in this month, in the same way that you can't have a kiddushin that's partial, you can't have an object that you're matish, but only half of it's kaddish. The left side of the animal's kaddish, the right side is not kaddish. Or it's kaddish with respect to, you can't plow with this animal, but you can milk it, or you can shear it. There's no such thing. The Kedusha has to be Mispashetes. And by Kedushin and Gerushin, Gerushin is the opposite of Kedushin. It has to completely remove that Kedusha. And the Kedusha really is an Isser. Rashi in last week's parasha, Pen Tik Dash. right? It has to remove, if Kedusha creates Isra. It can be good things, it can be bad things. It can be Asr Bano because it's Hekdesh, it can be Asr Kano because it's an Aveira and it's Asr Bano. So that's Kedusha, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, Sefer Krisus, it is not possible that she's not Mutaris the one man. She had the everything that the Kiddushin Asr, the Gerushin has to be Matir. That's a slightly awkward formulation, and maybe imprecise, but that's the principle. It's why the Gemara will have a discussion later, where the Mishnah will say, if you say, Aram Megureshes Imenu, Chutz, I'll say even the Chutz formulation, Chutz Le'ava, except for your father, Olavich. He divorces her, except with respect to her father. Is the get a good get? The answer is yes. Why is the get a good get? Because there is no such thing as Kiddushin with her father. The Kiddushin, unlike the Kohen with the Kedusha, if you say, Adam Uteris the Chal Adam, except for such a woman who's a Grusha, and the guy's, except for so and so who's a Kohen. No good. Because Kiddushin are Kosim with the Kohen. She's not allowed to marry him, but Kiddushin are Kosim. But Chutz Le'av L'Avicha, not a problem. Because Gerushin means being matir, everyone who was usher because of Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish, had the, when he was in the Kaddishar, the Kedusha was Nispasha, the Isra was Nispasha for everyone who would have been Mutarasa up until that point, and now they have a get. It's matir to everyone who is Nasser because of Eishes Ish. So that is what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying. And that's why I think Rabbi the Babli and in the Tosefta, why Rabbi Yosei says Nirin Dibur Elazar ben Azariah. Right? This is not some. In other words, the first principles of Dracha Dachanam that Ephraim talks about, yeah, they're true, but not always. Right? It's a Sara. What they are essentially offering fundamentally is Saras, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is offering a pasuk. He's saying the word Krisus means that everything the Kiddushin created, the Gerushin dissolves. I'll throw out for fun kind of an interesting kind of question, which I know comes up in the Gemara, it's in the Yibayidla Shita, but I want to ask the question in a funny way. If you say Almanas that you don't get married to your brother, to your father, to my father, to all the ones who would be like standard Arias, no problem. Now, what about Almanas Shaloti Nasi to so and so who's married to your sister? Bal Achosef, I think would be the term. Now that's an Erva. Are Kiddushin Tosin? No. Why is it a Nibai in the Gemara? Yeah. It's not forever necessarily. Should her sister die, there's no more erva anymore. Now let me tell you why my formulation might also have been imprecise. I'll take the very same case. If you're mekadesh an isha, and whose sister's already married to so and so, so when you aser her, Akule Alma to Hekdesh, are you assuring her upon her brother-in-law? The answer is no. She's already assur for a different issue, a chosishta. Now, when you megarish her, let's pretend that her brother-in-law dies. Not her brother, her sister died, excuse me. There's nobody to marry for her brother-in-law died. Her sister died in the interim. And now, you are megarishar chutz from that one guy. She's not an erva anymore to that guy because her sister died. I know the answer to my question. But when you were mekadesh your wife, you didn't asa her to that guy because she was already asurila. The answer, I think, is there are two ways of answering this question, both of which would explain why it really doesn't undermine our cloud. Shemi?
I have to say that you create an additional interpretation.
So, very good. Now, possibility one is that when you're Makadish her, you do also because of Ishish. because this is a sugya that I will not touch. It's a fun sugya, a lot of different pieces in Chas. The question of Isser Chal al Isser. Right? The Mishnah in Krasis. Yesh bo bil achas v'chayev adam mishum shisho sheva shemos. Sometimes it requires a little infest beforehand to create people, to create that many Isserim. But the bottom line is, you can come up with cases. Just take the following four arayas in one bia. Two men marry two brothers, marry two sisters, and accidentally swap them in their nidos. Yabia yuchai mishum eshasach, mishum achasishto, mishum eshasish, and mishum nida. It's a mishum yivamos, by the way. I didn't make up that scenario. Right? It can get better. You know. As I was going to say, some of the Mishnah's increases have cases where if the family tree doesn't fork, you can get, you know, in order to get certain cases, you need to have Mamzerim having been created from a previous Bia, and then you get some really weird cases. Clearly, sometimes we think that the Tanaim had a lot of spare time, you know. This is what they did in Hasmanim. In Hasmanim, when they were off, they came up with these cases. Yeah, I'm kidding, but yeah. Yeah, you can get all sides. That's a similar. It's a similar genre, but you have to work out the Isser Chal Isser pieces. So number one, Isser Ishishish is going to be Chal on Achus Ishtomas for sure. Number two, even if it weren't Shimi, when the brother-in-law dies, at that time the Ishish will be Chal. Because one of the rules of Ein Isser Chal al Isser is, it's not that the Isser isn't there at all. The Isser is lying in wait. It's lying in ambush. And if the first Isser disappears for some reason, then the second Isser will be Chal. And in fact, in Halacha, it actually matters, even then, because the Gemara says that even when Ein Isser Chal Isser, the Isser that's lying in wait has an impact. The following case, supposing you have two guys. One of them was Baal Eishes Achiv, who was an Achos Ishto also, and one of them was Baal Eishes Achiv, who would have been Achos Ishto also, except that Ein Isser Chal Isser. The nafkamina is you can't bury them in the same cemetery. The Gemara says, Lekovro Bein Rishayim Gemurim. What's nafkamina? We in our community generally, I think, do not observe this practice anymore. It's good and it's bad. But the principle the Gemara has in Kovin Rasha Eitzel Tzadik, weirdly enough, in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that there were two different cemeteries for people who have been executed by Beis Din. One for the Niskalim and the Nisrafim, one for the Ragim and the Nachim. Why? Because in Kovin Rasha Eitzel Tzadik, and in Kovin Rasha Eitzel Rasha Gadol Hinnim. Now, the odd thing, of course, about that is, so the Gemara makes an inference from that. The odd thing about the whole din in the first place is that, well, what do you mean? If you bury Niskalim next to Nisrafim, that's also, is a machlokas, which is more chomer. Now, you know, the Alchets are coming up, so what's the order of Chomer of the Isurim? Skila, Srefa, Skila, Srefa, Hereg, Chenek. That's the order we pass the mic. But there are two Tanaim who disagree, one Tanaim, Shum disagrees with both pairs different. He says Srefa is more Chamor than Skila, and Hereg is more, Hereg, Chenek is more Chamor than Hereg. Now, even for the cemetery, they didn't have four cemeteries, they had two cemeteries. Now, but this is a din, it's an Inkov Rosh Eitzel Tzadik. The Gemara also says in Yavamos, that's in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Yavamos says, by the Ein Isser Chal Isser, the third parak says, that the nafkamina of whether it's one Isser versus one Isser with one lying in ambush is Lekovar Merishan Gemur, which shows you that even when it wasn't Chal, even when you're not Chayiv Achatas, let's say, for violator, if you're not Chayiv Malkus, it's still a bigger Avera, the one lying in wait. But everybody would agree that if the first Isser disappears, the second one plops down and is Chal. So I think, even in my cases here, it will turn out that she is Neseris at some point for Eishes Ish, either because Issa was Chalas in the first place or because it's Chal later. So I'm comfortable mostly, even if it's not totally precise, is that those people that he asked her to with the Kiddushin, Rabbi Lassa, as I would say, are the people who has to be not during the Gershon. Right. So that's an Ibayi in the Gemara as well. Yeah, the Gemara wants to know if you asked her, if you mocked her for somebody, chutz min hanoladim, those who will be born in the future. I believe that's one of the Ibayi's she has. Yeah.
But while they're still married, there's still a chalos issue, so we have bond.
They don't exist yet.
No, let's say they've been married for 50 years, and someone.
Oh, no, if they're born, yeah, for sure. Sure.
So you don't need to turn out isn't, you just that once in so long as you
no, no, you do need you do you oh yes, correct, correct, you know. That would be correct. Okay. Now so we'll stop here. Tomorrow, what I would like to do, the topic, the Makoros that I'm going to send you probably tomorrow will be for Wednesday and Thursday. What I would like to do is to read through the continuation of the Gemara here to see Rava's response. Rava's going to say that everybody has a pircha except for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So I would like to really read through the Gemara. It's on the next Makoros anyway, so you can do the starting until like 8 lines down on the top of Pei Gimel on the Beis. And if you get bored with that, you can go back to the beginning of the parak and start to read the Gemara going forward from this. Okay.